Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to The Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr with Bob Buhner today. Steve Jones has the day off. He'll be back with us tomorrow to discuss many different topics.
The report out of State College is that Steve has not been seen taking down his Christmas decorations.
Oh, that's good to know.
Apparently, he's leaving that for some time in April.
I was going to say, does that mean they're still up? Is that what you're saying?
They're up. I think he's going to replace them with some Easter decorations at the appropriate time.
Well,
so
you just replace Santa Claus with a bunny rabbit,
exactly.
You're good to go. I mean, right now, all the red lights are very appropriate, so if you unscrew the blue and any of the other colors, red and white, you could be okay with that.
Valentine's Day coming
right
up. Yeah, I think, but there are reports that he has not been seen taking down his Christmas decorations.
All right. So, again, Steve will be back with us tomorrow here on The Steve Jones Show. Kevin Herr along with Bob Buhner discussing a little bit last hour with Steve DeLong of the Milton Black Panthers. They have the Shikellamy Braves tonight in the jungle in Milton. We'll have that game for you beginning at 7:06 here on WKOK and WKOK.com.
Kevin, one of the big things about Milton over the years at high school basketball, when you mentioned the jungle comes to mind, they have had a great student fan base over there.
Oh, absolutely. They always sit in the small section.
Yes. Is that still going on?
I think there's been, and it may not be as big as it used to be, at least up until this year, because of the struggles that Milton has had over the last couple of years. But they are definitely into the game early on, every year when Shikellamy came to play, I can tell you that much. And as the game went on, it might be a little bit different. But I'll tell you what, with the way this game was the last time around, with such a tight game and Milton getting, I hate to use the word upset, but it was a minor upset there in my mind anyway. Mm-hmm. Not because I call Shikellamy games, but because I felt it was a minor upset. There's going to be a lot of people in that gym tonight. Of course,
and you're on the air at what time again?
7:06.
Okay.
And those of you that don't realize, the jungle has a huge section of bleachers that is way off the court.
Yeah, it's a weird setup over there.
And I'm going to explain why I think that is, and I could be wrong. But and then there's a short amount of bleachers that are right on top of the court on the left side as you walk in. Now, my theory on that, Bob, is this. I believe that gym was set up to lean its way toward wrestling more than basketball from a fan standpoint.
I think you're right, because I think at the time it was built, the Black Panther wrestling team was really predominant.
And if you think, Jersey Shore is built the same way.
Ah.
Although Jersey Shore has like a separator, kind of a separation between, but they have the same setup where there's a big set of bleachers that's way off the court for basketball, but a little bit closer, I think, when it comes to wrestling.
Okay.
Time. So that's my theory.
All right.
I could be way off base. Like, that's never happened
before.
Yeah. But we'll be there tonight. The Chief and I will be up there at 7:06 tonight for Milton Shikellamy. And again, really, really interesting conversation with Steve DeLong and how that program has made a nice little turn there with Chad Deegan, the 1,000-point scorer, and also Michael Jacobs, who had 23 last time out, including I think 4 of the 6 three-pointers that were put up in that game.
You know, the thing about, I didn't want to say this to Steve when we were talking to him in the first hour, but, you know, in essence, he is really following the legacy of Tony Fanick, who was, 30 years at the helm of the Black Panthers basketball program with incredible success, including, I believe, a state championship.
Well, and that's something that's that Dave Ritchie mentioned Saturday night. He said now it's more like the Fanick era has come back.
Yeah, but it's a tough. Those are huge shoes for anybody to fill. And it looks like Steve DeLong is getting going in the right direction. Good for him.
And these are two teams that, as Steve said, are already in the District 4 playoffs, but they're trying to get into that top three section of the playoffs where you get better matchups. And again, I don't mean to put anybody down.
No.
That's not my. But let's face it, you get a better matchup, and that's what you want.
Yeah, you want to get some momentum. I think it looks like, maybe I'm wrong, and I know you follow these playoff scenarios in great detail, Kevin.
Yeah, Steve said, I think I have the 2019 football. That was his promo today, 2019,
yeah.
Or the football's pro playoffs.
Yeah, I think, and you always worked years ahead of yourself. but it looks like Athens, I think, and
yes.
Danville pretty well locked up 1-2, just given their one loss record.
Right.
And 1-2, that's really, you know, you get the best seeding there, obviously.
And you may not have to worry about a first-round game.
Exactly.
Depending on how things go, you may have a pigtail game that, you know, a couple of teams will have to play an extra game.
Sure. And so it's really the fight for third and fourth. And if you're third, then you get the second seed. And if you're fourth, you get the first seed. So third seed is pretty important.
And you know, I'll tell you this. I am much happier right now with the must-be 500 rule to get into the basketball playoffs. I mean, high school football, I really think they need to look at that for high school football. I realize that you're going to have some district and some classes in District 4 that may not have more than two teams in it. I understand
right.
that. But I really did not like it when everybody made the District 4 tournament, no matter what your record, a couple of
right.
years ago. And that's been always my problem with the NCAA and the conference tournaments. No matter what your record is, you can get in to the NCAA tournament, and you may have won one game all year coming into it, and you just all of a sudden pull off a miracle in the conference tournament, and you get an NCAA berth.
Yeah, and you end up being the 16th seed with about a 10-15 record, but you somehow won your conference championship.
Right, yep. Right. And I think it makes for a better tournament.
Sure.
At least as far as the high school side of things are looking at it.
So really what you're saying is that tonight's match between the Black Panthers of Milton and the Braves of Shikellamy could go a long way in determining that third spot in the bracket.
Oh, I think it may actually determine it.
Okay.
I really, truly believe that. I think both of these teams have a schedule that kind of match each other in difficulty. You know, Shikellamy has Central Mountain to go. That's going to be a challenge. State College is also going to be
yeah.
an uphill climb for the Braves. And I think Milton has a couple of teams as well that you know, that are going to battle them. And I think this could just really, really play a big part, as Steve said, in deciding the 3-4 setup right
and
now.
So what we've really done here this afternoon is heap plenty of pressure on the Shikellamy coaching staff and
right.
Milton players and coaching staff.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Exactly.
I'm all about the hype. You know that.
Exactly. And so we've hyped it enough.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the recruiting situation right now, as it is National Signing Day, and we can tell you that there are several recruits already in the Penn State program, or at least in the Penn State University. And a couple of things that came from the Bill O'Brien news conference we talked about earlier. He says they basically signed 8 offensive players, 9 defensive players. So they feel it's a pretty well-balanced setup right now. And I thought one of the funny things was a comment when he talks about, you know, now being looking at a, you know, his first recruiting situation, a recruiting class in college football. He says he has the NCAA rule book by his desk wherever he isn't sure about everything.
Sure.
And he said every day is a learning experience when it comes to the rules.
Yeah, and the rules are put together by armies and legions of lawyers.
Right.
And requires the wisdom of a Supreme Court justice to interpret, and it's just not fair.
I think.
But it is the law of the land, so to speak.
It's the way it is, yeah.
And Bill O'Brien, not used to that in the New England Patriots NFL setup. I mean, there's certainly rules, but not to the extent that we see in college. That's just crazy.
And if you missed the first half hour, we did say that Ryan Kaiser will get a scholarship this season from being a former walk-on, and one of the success stories that I think a lot of area, especially, not only area run-ons, but, you know, any of the run-ons we'll look at right now. Look at the success of McGloin, look at the success of Ryan Kaiser, and maybe, just maybe, I could be the next one.
Yes, and we talked about Kilmer from Wyalusing making it to the NFL.
Sure.
And, of course, right now, Matt McGloin, I think, is down in Florida getting prepped for the NFL combine and also the draft.
You know, we were talking about the recruiting for Bloomsburg University and how many really successful wrestling programs there are in the state of Pennsylvania. Bill O'Brien and his staff have done a really good job with the bulk of their roster coming within a 300-mile driving distance of State College, with using Pennsylvania, New Jersey, the Baltimore, D.C. area. They've really done a nice job at tapping those resources. Although he did mention needing to get a little bit better in Ohio and New England.
Well,
and they're not going to give up on the South either.
Well, I think before Ted Roof, the defensive coordinator, left to go back home to the South, I think he was able to procure recruit commitments from players in Georgia and I think Alabama. But I don't know if they made the final list or not.
Actually, he was asked about Ted Roof, and he said he did a great job for us. But guys have decisions to make in terms of their families, so he decided to head home. That was
his family did not move to State College. They were down in the Atlanta area. But he was like the recruiting coordinator for the South. So they've lost that, and I don't know if they've been able to replace.
They haven't yet, but they will next week, according to Coach O'Brien.
Okay. So obviously a big, important coaching move, because coaches bring with them their recruiting history, their contacts, etc. So we know that Christian Hackenberg is coming, the big, highly touted, formerly Pennsylvania QB who went to, I think, Virginia.
And you mentioned Christian Hackenberg. He was from the area. He was originally a Marian Catholic product and still has a lot of those coal region ideas, we'll call it, a mindset. And earlier today, out in State College, we had our correspondent Brian Tripp and Willie Jungles actually get a chance to chat with him as he becomes now, well, he's already been a Penn Stater for a couple of weeks now, but actually gets, you know, accustomed to things. And the first question they asked him was a really good one. Why Penn State?
It really wasn't that hard of a decision for me. You know, once I got on campus and, you know, got to know the coaching staff and get a feel for the students and, you know, campus life in general, you know, it just felt like home to me. You know, not saying that any of the other universities really didn't click with me, but, you know, I like those universities, but I love Penn State. And at the end of the day, you know, I think that State College was the best decision for me in Penn State.
How do you see yourself fitting in Coach Bill O'Brien's offense?
You know, I really feel like I can do the things that he wants to do. You know, it takes a cerebral quarterback. You know, I feel like I have the mental capacity to do that, pick it up and understand when to check, when not to check, what to check into. And then I feel like I have the physical tools to be able to do what he asked me to do. So, you know, I just felt like being put in a system that is widely used in the NFL, and basically playing in the Patriots offense, it gives me a great opportunity to succeed.
Christian, is this the type of offense and coaching staff that's in place, the system that's in place at Penn State, that you feel gives you the best opportunity to take it to the next level?
Without a doubt. You know, just the total experience that this coaching staff's had, you know, not even Coach O'Brien, Coach Hickson, you know, Coach Strollo, all those guys, the whole offensive staff and the defensive staff. You know, not only for me, but other guys who are looking to come here and the guys who made the decisions, you know, they're getting put in front of one of the best staffs, in my opinion, in the country. So, you know, can't wait to go to work with those guys.
Christian Hackenberg joining us here. Christian, with the sanctions against Penn State, was there ever any hesitation or second-guessing in the decision?
You know, at first, being a 17-year-old kid, mm-hmm. you know, I really was just like, you know, taking a step back and sort of had to reevaluate everything. And I went to my parents and my coaches, and, you know, at the end of the day, nothing really changed for me as to why I committed to Penn State. You know, I didn't commit to Penn State to go play in bowl games. I committed to Penn State because I felt like it was a great school. It would be the best place for me to maximize my potential. And, you know, if I were to get hurt and couldn't play another down, I'd be happy going to school there. You know, it's a great school, awesome environment. So, you know, at the end of the day, after reevaluating that, you know, the sanctions really didn't affect anything.
Christian, what about Bill O'Brien? Did you talk to him when he had that flirtation with the professional league this year, the NFL? Did you talk to him at all? And what message did he give you, if you can share that with us, that gave you the confidence that he's going to be your coach, not only this year, but perhaps down the road, and that you're excited to play for Coach O'Brien at Penn State?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a dead period when that was all going on, so he really couldn't call me. So I contacted him, but, you know, even before that, he had assured me that he wasn't going anywhere. So, you know, he had been truthful with me throughout the whole process, and I the same way. So, you know, I trusted him, and I really didn't have much concern about that.
Christian, we've talked to a lot of other recruits, and what they've said is they've really appreciated Coach O'Brien and his staff's honesty towards your guys. He's a no-nonsense kind of guy. He's not going to beat around the bush with you guys. As a recruit, do you really appreciate that?
Yeah, without a doubt. It's something that you know, I value a lot more than you know, his college resume. You know, he didn't ever coach in college before as a head coach. So you know, him being honest and, you know, the production that he's had this year, you know, I can't wait to play for that guy.
We're talking to Christian Hackenberg, the number one rated recruit in the country, quarterback position. Christian, with this recruiting class, you've kind of been, you and Adam Brenneman have been kind of the leaders. Talk about the leadership that you're looking to bring to the table next year and your years here at Penn State altogether.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like going through this whole thing with the sanctions and whatnot really allowed me to establish myself as a leader in this class. And you know, not only me, but the other guys that stuck around through the whole thing. So, you know, I feel like we've sort of gone through the same struggle that the team did and you know, the same trials that they went through this past year without actually being with them. And, you know, just being up there with the guys on my official and stuff, just being able to talk to them, I feel like I'm going to fit in right there with them. And, you know, I'm just going to try and establish myself as a leader and, you know, go to work. And, you know, at the end of the day, we'll see how the cards fall.
I'd imagine something along those lines, Christian, too, is building on what the 2012 team accomplished, but then building and creating your own legacy, correct?
Exactly.
And is early playing time something that's a factor for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going in there, you know, in the mindset that I'm competing for a job and I'm going to be as physically and mentally prepared as I can. You know, once I get my hands on the playbook, I'm going to really dive into that and work hard in that aspect. And, you know, just come in there and compete and, you know, let Coach O'Brien decide with who he thinks is going to be the best guy to lead the team.
Yeah, just to clear up any speculation, Christian, a lot of people have said, well, if Christian redshirts, then he can play potentially 2 years in a bowl game. And I know you mentioned earlier that it's not about the bowl game for you. So just to clear up any speculation regarding that, you're ready to play as soon as you step on campus.
In my mind, I am. So as long as Coach O'Brien you know, doesn't decide that a red shirt would be the best thing for me, that I'm going to come in there ready to compete.
Christian, what did you gain from the Elite 11 and the Under Armour experiences and being with professional quarterbacks, a guy like a Trent Dilfer? What did you gain from that experience?
They came, there was a lot of value to me in my game, you know, just really understanding the whole aspect of being a quarterback, you know, and really just fine-tuning my skills, you know, being out there with Trent. He has a bunch of connections with guys like George Whitfield and mm-hmm. being able to work with those guys. You know, George works with the top five picks in the draft every year from the quarterback position. So, you know, just being able to take the knowledge base that you get from there and apply that to your game and, you know, being in contact with Coach Dilfer, being able to contact him whenever I need to about things is great. And then, you know, the Under Armour game was a unique experience because unlike the Elite 11, I actually got to play with live D linemen coming at me and all that stuff. So I think that really gave me a chance to adjust to the type of speed I'm going to see at the next level. You know, the first day of practice, it sort of was a different level for me. I hadn't seen that yet, you know, coming from high school. But, you know, it took a couple days to adjust, and then I really got a lot out of that.
We spoke earlier with Adam Amin, the play-by-play announcer that for that game for ESPNU. He had rave reviews for you, Christian. Thought I'd pass that along. As one of the top recruits, is there an extra element of pressure coming into the collegiate level to perform as soon as you step on campus?
You know, I think that naturally people are going to think that, you know, he's going to be able to come in there and, you know, compete and be great, great right off the bat. But, you know, it's a big step. You know, it's a lot bigger step than people understand. You know, my dad played the position, and he had to make that step. And that's one thing that he's really been harping on me about is just, you know, you got to be prepared. The game's going to be a lot faster. It's going to be totally different from what you've seen in the past. So for me, you know, I'm not too worried about that. I know that if I take care of everything that I need to take care of and, you know, come up there with my heart into the whole thing, that I'll be all right.
We're talking to Christian Hackenberg. Along the same lines with that question, Christian, you know, your Twitter account, very active. You have a lot of Penn State alumni, current students tweeting at you all the time. I'm wondering if you and other members of your recruiting class realize just how revered you are up here in State College, and you guys haven't even stepped foot on campus yet.
Yeah, I mean, from, I mean, obviously, like you said, from all the Twitter things, you know, I haven't been in Pennsylvania since I was 7 years old, so 7, 8 years old. So for me, I haven't really understood the largeness of this yet. Adam's been sort of trying to explain it to me, but I guess I'll understand that once I step foot on campus.
What role did your family have in this decision, Christian?
They really didn't play a big role for me. I wanted to be close enough to home, but far enough away, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot of schools that I was down to, fit that mold. But, you know, I really wouldn't say that my family played a deciding factor in it.
Christian, when you graduate or whenever you move on, if you're fortunate enough to move on to the National Football League, what do you want people to say years after your time here at Penn State about you while you were here?
You know, I really just like them to look at me as a guy who stuck to his word and then came in and performed. You know, that's all, barring no injuries, I'm going to come in there and hopefully be able to perform to the level that, I feel like I can. And, a guy who really set the tone and helped not only me as an individual, but this class, helped just get Penn State out of these hard times and, climb back to where they belong in college football.
Christian Hackenberg, the nation's top overall quarterback recruit. Christian, just from talking to you, we look forward to talking to you again. Very impressive, and we look forward to watching you here in State College and at Penn State. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Christian.
No problem. Thank you, guys.
And Brian Willie will be back with us a little bit later on. Brandon Bell we'll be talking with shortly. And then Mark Brennan coming up in the next few minutes from Fight on State, talking about the defensive side of things.
That's just an amazing, mature interview.
Yeah, it absolutely was.
I mean, this kid is 18 years of age. Yep. He's a high school senior, and he handled some difficult questions in a very articulate, a very concise, and a very directly responsive way without a lot of just jive talk or slang. I mean, he just, every question was just responded to in an amazing fashion. And he got some tough questions in there, too. It wasn't all softballs.
Well, he comes in at 6'4", 212, runs a 4'8", 440, and a 30-inch vertical right now. We'll see if that 212 gets a little bit more solid once he gets into the Penn State weight room a little bit.
He's established a pretty high mark for himself, but it sounds like, just from that interview, that he has the confidence to achieve it.
National Signing Day is upon us, and we'll talk more about it coming up. This is the Steve Jones Show, sponsored by Sunbury Motor Company from the Sunbury Motor Studios East, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the Steve Jones Show. Steve on, vacation, I guess, is the best way. Kevin here with Bob Buhner in the Sunbury Motors Studio East today. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Hilshire's General Store Hotline has been smoking with a couple of calls and also a couple of interviews. And we still have Brandon Bell waiting in the wings and Mark Brennan from Fight on State as we talk more about National Signing Day on the Hilshire's General Store Hotline.
You know, I checked out a rumor that Steve had the day off to go ice fishing out on Lake Chillisquaque.
I can't picture him fishing, no. Let alone ice fishing.
Apparently, those are false rumors. The walleye are not biting, nor are the muskies. So that rumor that he's ice fishing on Lake Chillisquaque, not true.
Yeah, I've done a lot of ice fishing. The only thing I ever caught was perch.
Yeah.
Caught a lot of perch ice fishing.
I don't know what you do with them.
Well, you can fillet perch.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've caught some perch. I caught actually more perch in the winter than I did in the summer.
You know, I'm like you. I can't imagine that Steve's kind of like a fishing guy.
No.
Not a hunting guy.
No.
He's a guy who came from Connecticut. They don't hunt or fish up there, apparently.
But they like hockey.
They do like hockey. But he, there were rumors he was ice fishing. I've been able to check that out. It's not true. He's not spelunking at Penn's Cave. He's not parasailing off Mount Nittany. He's just taking the day off.
Can you parasail off Mount Nittany?
You can.
Really?
Yes.
I don't want to do that.
No.
I didn't know you could.
Yeah, you go up to the Mount Nittany Inn.
Okay.
You take a big parasail, run through the parking lot, and out you go. Over.
So you're saying you can, but it's not what it's not like a. It's not like a business where you do it.
No, I got it's sort of what we call ad hoc.
I see what you're saying. All right, it's not like what I saw an Amazing Race in Rio de Janeiro.
Exactly,
like that.
None of that. It's just if you want to do it, you go out and do it.
Well, let's give you some updates on National Signing Day. Talked with Christian Hackenberg moments ago, the Fort Union Military Academy product, Fort Union, Virginia, and of course he was from the coal region originally in the. Marian Catholic program in the youth program when he was younger, and that's where he first started to throw the football around. Boy, I bet they wished he stayed in town. 6'4", 205, and he is one of those pro-style quarterbacks, and they rate him as in Rivals.com as a five-star. The other one I wanted to make mention of, we eventually would like to catch up with him, is Adam Brenneman. I'll tell you what, this looks like a solid tight end from Cedar Cliff. 6'5", 230, and if you're a tight end that's 6'5", 230, you fit into Bill O'Brien's offense very, very, very well.
And he's from Cedar Cliff High School, which is really opposite of Harrisburg on the west shore of the Susquehanna.
Camp Hill area.
Yes. He was hurt with an ACL his entire senior year, was considered going into his senior year before he got hurt as the number one tight end recruit. And we all know that Bill O'Brien's offense, modeled after the Patriots, of course, or maybe it's his offense the Patriots use, employs the tight end.
He is he's actually a 4 or 5 star along a lot of ratings, companies and organizations. Actually, Rivals has him 3rd at his position at tight end, 4th overall in the state, and 78th nationally.
And the only thing I would say about that, I think it's very deceiving because he didn't play his senior year. But at the end of his junior year, he was really considered to be the tight end. And he and Christian Hackenberg have been the recruiting recruits. They have really Twittered and Facebooked everybody, and they've kept this group of people through some adverse times. I think Brenneman committed a long time ago to Penn State, and he has stood by his word. And he has assisted others in coming to today's National Signing Day, Kevin.
A couple of the other names, Brandon Bell from Oak Crest High School. He's a 6'2", 215-pound middle linebacker, reportedly runs a 4.6, can bench 315 and squat 395. Those are some of the numbers on him. Comes out of a 6.1 rating of being the best. Rivals hits him at 5.6. 23rd overall in the state of Pennsylvania. That inside linebacker from Mays Landing, New Jersey, joined Willie Jungels on the Hilshire's General Store hotline just a few hours ago to talk about signing as a Penn State Nittany Lion.
Finally here. Kind of a day I've always thought about since, you know, freshman year when you're thinking about playing college football.
You know, when you have a lot of colleges that are interested in you like you were, what set Penn State apart from the rest for you?
I'd say definitely the community, the fans itself. I mean, all the places that I went, I mean, the fans were nothing compared, or I've been recruited, nothing compared to the Penn State.
You're a linebacker, Navarro Bowman, just in the Super Bowl with the 49ers. When you see a guy like that that's graduated from Penn State, played under Coach Vanderlyn, who recruited you, how excited are you for that possibility to possibly expand your skill set to where you could possibly be playing in the NFL in the future?
Definitely excited for me. I mean, any football player, and college football player, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, they might not want to say it, you know, trying to jinx themselves, but that's the goal. And one thing about all the linebackers, they all have their degrees, so it's not like it's not a thing where you got to leave early or something like that, or extremely early. Get your degree, 3 years, 4 maybe, and then see where the road takes you.
You know, regarding the coaching staff, Coach Vanderlyn, Coach O'Brien, you know, obviously with the sanctions put in place, what were they telling you throughout the process? You know, I know Coach Vanderlyn was really close with you. Talk about how their guidance helped you make this decision to go to Penn State.
Well, one thing I loved about Coach O'Brien, I mean, he didn't sugarcoat anything. You know, when I went up there to reaffirm, he's a straightforward type of guy, and I really really like that. And as far as Coach Vanderlinden, you know, he's been my recruiter, linebacker coach. He kept me positive about everything and just said, you know, going to get through it. But there was also no pressure from those guys, which was made me felt a little bit better about the whole situation.
You know, obviously with Coach O'Brien, the Eagles and other NFL teams were looking at him, you know, as a potential recruit. Now that he's signed on back at Penn State, does it, you know, kind of excite you that you're going to be playing for a coach that, 32 other NFL teams covet?
Yeah. I mean, everybody was kind of bashing him, but after you have a good season that nobody expects you to have, I mean, that's just going to happen. Like an NFL, after Super Bowl, every offensive coordinator is looked to be as a head coach and whatnot. So, I mean, you do good, that's what happens.
Well, you played at Oakcrest High School in South Jersey. You were a running back, but primarily a linebacker. How would you categorize yourself when you're on the field?
I'd have to say, I mean, I'm a tough, definitely a linebacker, got to be tough. That's no question, but I'm a student of the game. I love to study, try to pick up as fast as I can, and use the knowledge part of it.
Let's talk about this recruiting class. You know, I mentioned it before, how much you guys are revered up here already. Does that bring an extra amount of pressure to succeed even more with all the expectations that you have from fans, alumni, et cetera?
I wouldn't say so myself, because I think I kind of feed in those type of things. You know, when you think about, when you're working out, you're thinking about, you know, the season coming up and whatnot. But when you got a lot of people rooting for you, I mean, it kind of makes me just want to do even better, work even harder.
With the scholarship reductions that are put in place, there's not as many scholarships to be given out. So your class has become increasingly close. What about this class makes it such a close class?
Once we all knew who was staying and, well, who had committed after that, you know, you got to be a truly committed player if you're going to stay through it or come here anyway. So once that went through that, you kind of just automatically just feel closer and know everybody's in it.
Now, when you come up here in the fall, obviously it's going to be pretty exciting. Are you looking to get on the field immediately? You know, a lot has been made about guys possibly redshirting to play 2 years in a bowl game, but what is your personal preference? Are you ready to get on the field and help contribute to this team immediately?
Yeah, I'd have to say so. I mean, they said they'd give me the choice to redshirt if I wanted, but I can't really picture myself doing that. So if I'm ready and I'm doing good in the summer and whatnot, going into fall practices, I'd definitely say I'm ready to get on the field as quick as possible.
What do you think it's going to be like running out of the tunnel for the first time for you? I mean, how much have you envisioned that moment since you've verbally committed to Penn State and when you write your name underneath that commit, or you commit to Penn State tomorrow on National Signing Day? Have you thought about that moment at all?
Yeah, I think it's going to be crazy. I mean, even on the, we were on the official, we had a little mock run out on the field, just us guys, you know, in the dark stadium. We had the lights lit, and that had my heart pumping, so I can only imagine in front of 100,000 fans on a Saturday afternoon. It's going to be crazy.
You can bet on it. That, of course, Brandon Bell with William Bryan. We thank them for getting a hold of him again yesterday and actually last night before he officially became a Penn State Nittany Lion.
He's a kind of a soft-spoken,
yeah,
and
very
selfish,
much so.
Self-assured,
yeah,
fellow. You know, what he said really struck me, Kevin, is that they'd sort of had a mock run-through of going out the tunnel onto,
right,
the stadium when he was on his official visit, and it had his heart pumping. You know.
Yeah.
He's at Penn State for the right reasons.
Yes.
And he also talked about the importance of getting his degree and you know, before going on to, say, the NFL.
One more guy I want to highlight real quick that officially is now Penn State Nittany Lion is Garrett Sickles from Red Bank Regional High School in Little Silver, New Jersey. He's on a lot of ratings sites, a four-star, but he's a weak side defensive end. And I'll tell you what, I like the numbers on this kid, because that's all we have to go by, really.
Right.
Because you and I don't get a chance to see these guys on film or anything.
Nope.
You know, we're looking at numbers. 6'4", 245, runs a 4.68. 40. as a defensive end.
And he's got a big red S on his chest.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, if I'm a Big Ten quarterback right now, I'm a little bit nervous. We'll talk more about the defensive side of the ball coming up with Mark Brennan from Fight On State. This is the Steve Jones Show from the Sunbury Motor Studio East on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with black interior under 7,000 miles, lowest price promise, $17,999. 2008 Ford Fusion, four doors with four-wheel drive, $13,966. A 2006 Lincoln LS four-door V8 sports sedan, just $12,455. 2012 Hyundai Elantra, four-door GLS, lowest price promise, $59,45. 2011 Ford F-150 regular cab, just $17,995. And 2011 Ford Explorer four-wheel drive XLT, $28,523. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout, 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Focusing on the Penn State Nittany Lions on this National Signing Day, Kevin Herr along with Bob Buhner on the Steve Jones Show here this afternoon. And let's get right to it. We've been talking a little bit about it all afternoon so far. Let's get right to the man that is, well, pretty much the editor-in-chief of Fight On State. It is Mark Brennan talking about the defensive side recruits of the Penn State Nittany Lions, as Brian Tripp caught up with him earlier in the day today.
All right, Mark, when you look at the defensive recruiting class that Bill O'Brien's brought in, who's one player that stands out?
Boy, I think they did a good job overall in addressing some of their needs at defensive back. One guy that I'm looking forward to seeing, and he's not a really highly rated recruit, is Jordan Smith. He's an early enrollee, did not play his senior season of high school due to transfer rules. He's kind of an under-the-radar guy who enrolled early and I think is going to have an opportunity to make an impact, at least on special teams. So hopefully he'll be able for Penn State to do some things in the secondary because they're kind of thin there. But I think he's a guy who could come in. In terms of immediate sort of impact, having that spring practice, I think, will help him.
What about along the defensive line? I know a lot of people have talked about Garrett Sickles. What does he bring to the program?
Well, he's an athletic kind of, you know, Larry Johnson's done a great job of recruiting guys who aren't just big but who are athletic. And this guy comes in. He's not a, you know, 320-pounder, but he's one of these super athletic guys who I think fits nicely in with what Larry Johnson likes to do, rotating people at different positions even, getting a lot of guys in there, having athletes who are able to do some things on the defensive line. So I think he's – when you talk about immediate impact, I think it may be difficult for him to make an immediate impact. I think he's more of a long-term type impact guy. Get him on campus, into the strength program. For those defensive linemen, a lot of times it's hard to make that real early impact until they get a little bit bigger. So I think the weight program will really help him.
Mark Brennan from Fight On State joining us here on the show. How about linebacker? We touched on cornerback and defensive line. What about linebacker?
Well, I mean, the ISOC kid is, I think he'll do well. He's an athletic linebacker. This was a kid who committed to Penn State. The sanctions came down, decided he wasn't sure if he wanted to go to Penn State, and, you know, saw how things worked out during the course of the season, kind of came down between Oregon and Penn State, and ultimately decided to come back to Penn State. So there was so much talk about guys who were going, who left the program, or who decided to go elsewhere. This is a guy who had second thoughts and then decided to come back. So I think he's an athletic linebacker who will be able to do some things. And to me, again, I don't know if he'll be an immediate impact guy. Maybe he'll be able to do some things on special teams, but long term, I like his upside.
What about the departure of Ted Roof? What has that meant for recruiting? Has it had any impact?
Well, they lost the Walton kid, the linebacker from Alabama. That was tied directly, I think, to Ted Roof. But overall, I think the key thing that Ted Roof did was help Penn State get reestablished in some of those southern states. And remember, he's not the only guy with southern ties. I mean, they have other coaches, Hickson, McWhorter. Bill O'Brien coached at Georgia Tech, so there are ties. I think the one thing that Roof did was help get Penn State back involved in some of those states, the Georgias, the Alabamas, and get the ball kind of rolling. So, you know, I think Penn State fans have to get used to the fact that there is going to be more turnover in the staff. Ideally, I'm sure they would have loved to keep Ted Roof here for at least another year. But listen, this is different from the old era. This is, you're in a position now where these are coaches who move around and, you know, aren't afraid to pursue different jobs and that sort of thing. So him going back to Georgia Tech, hey, it's his alma mater. You can't really blame him. I know that's a long answer to your question, but overall, I think they'll be fine long term. Cost him one recruit, so I don't think it was that big of a deal.
That's a look at the defense for the 2013 recruiting class. Mark, great insight as always. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
Mark Brennan again from Fight on State with Brian Tripp. Thanks again, Brian, for helping us out there in State College today, giving us another look at the Penn State Nittany Lions on National Signing Day. Bob, now, go ahead.
We have from now till early August to digest.
Well, oh, no, we have the spring game.
Yeah, we have the
all month. You have the whole spring month there of March to,
yes,
and April, really, to kind of look at everything. And then when these guys start filtering in August, then we'll see where everything goes into play.
One of the things I always like to do or like to read about is, say, they'll take the 2012 recruiting class, which occurred back in 2008 or 2007, and sort of do a where are they now, what have they done analysis. And that really tells you, you know, Michael Maudy was a recruited legacy. And then there's this guy, McGloin, who comes in as a walk-on who was probably not even listed back then. And the same with this class, the run-ons. Where would Brandon Smith be? Adam Fiedler, yeah, from Warrior Run. And that'll be the exciting thing for all of us to look at.
We did get word from Bucknell. They have announced their 2013 recruiting class. We'll talk more about that with Joe Susan and how everybody comes into play there for the 2013 season. Joe will be with us tomorrow here on the Steve Jones Show. But one thing we can tell you is Bucknell has 15 athletic financial aid scholarships available, financial aid awards available each year. This is the first year for that in the Patriot League for football, top to bottom. You know, Fordham had it for the last couple of years. And I don't think used it really well. That's just my opinion. You know.
But this is going to level that playing
field. It will definitely level the playing field.
I remember way back when George Landis, in about 85, came from Bloomsburg University to Bucknell, brought Lou Maranzana as assistant coach. And they were about the third season. They had made it to the Patriot League to playoffs, in essence. And they had no scholarships and went up against a Holy Cross team that had, like, the full commitment of, like, 45. And they played valiantly for about the first 30 minutes. But, you know, the scholarships made a difference.
Well, the Bison announced 18 for the recruiting class of 2013. They will add to the 16 starters from last year and 5 all Patriot League players as well. Several of them from Pennsylvania, none from the immediate area at the moment. In this announcement, there is a quarterback from Fox Chapel, Pennsylvania, 6'2", 205, Alexander Romango, I believe is how it's pronounced.
And Fox Chapel is the north side of Pittsburgh. Yep. It's a pretty nice area.
There's some quarterbacks that came out of that area.
Yeah, that,
pretty
that
well.
General area, yeah.
Ben Schumacher from Cedar Grove, New Jersey, a 6'1", 258 defensive end. Not a real tall defensive end, but a nice size defensive end. Here's what I like to look at is the offensive lineman. You're looking at a 290, Nate Bent from Washington, D.C., 6'3", 290. Another guy from Poughkeepsie, Devlin Brennan, who's 6'4", 280. Let's see, Julian Davenport from Paulsboro, New Jersey. He is a 6'7", 300-pounder. There's an offensive lineman. I can think of a couple of places you might want to put him for quarterback protection and for some running plays. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And Kerry Hess from the Shippensburg area in Shippensburg High.
He was highly sought, yep, after, no question. He was one of the top 50 high school players in Pennsylvania this year.
6'4", 275. So Coach Susan going after those first-step lineman. Here's another quarterback. It's R.J. Nitti. He is from Dix Hills, New York, and Half Hollow Hills East High School. 6'5", 205 at quarterback.
But he could see the field.
Yeah. So we'll talk more about Bucknell coming up. Bob, thanks so much for helping me out today.
Glad to be here, Kevin. Steve is back from vacation tomorrow, apparently.
Maybe we just do it again and we just, you know, not let him come back.
Exactly. He's probably locked up in the bowels of the Bryce Jordan Arena.
We'll have Steve Jones coming back tomorrow, unfortunately for me. You're listening to the Steve Jones Show on WKOK. Have a great one. I'll talk to you in a couple hours from Milton.